I'm going to have Holly stand up and sing a song for you really quick. She has the most beautiful voice, but she likes to keep it to herself. And Nathaniel and Sosie, I want you two to come up here. And I just put that up like that.
Yeah. Hello. Hey, it works. I always like to have a time in the service for the kids. And I see a couple other kids. Could you just bring them up here for a minute? We got to have a moment together with the kids. Come on up here. You know, do you all know what VIP means? What does VIP mean, Nathaniel?
I forgot.
Oh, he forgot. This was Abigail, right? Abigail, do you know what VIP means?
VIP spells Pam.
There you go. There you go. It means very important person, right? Mm-hmm. Right? I think that the children are VIPs of the church.
Amen.
I do. I think Jesus said, unless you become like a little one. She's pretty cute, isn't she? Yeah. Unless you become like a little child, you can have no part in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. So I consider children to be VIPs of the church. So I'm going to talk to the kids first. Okay. Do you guys know what love is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know a love song? Abigail, do you have a favorite love song? I love the Lord. That's her favorite one. That's good. Well, how about you guys have never heard of the Purple Dinosaur?
No.
Barney. No. No. I love you. You love me. We're a happy family. No, 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 no. Yeah, I don't like the Purple Dinosaur either. No. You know, and 16 years ago, I met... Bye-bye, Sosie. 16 years ago, I met my sweetheart back there, Holly, and some friends at our wedding. Can you believe that was 16 years ago? Some friends at our wedding sang this song. When I fall in love... You all know that one? It will be forever. Is that your favorite love song?
No.
No, okay. No, I bet you know this one. This is my favorite, really. This is my favorite, and you all have to sing it. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Do you hear? Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. So, in Matthew chapter 22, kids, Jesus teaches a very important lesson about love. One day a crowd was gathered around Jesus when a man who was an expert in religious law, much like Pastor Mike over there, expert in religious law, well, of course, he wouldn't try to trap Jesus, though. Tried to trap him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" You all know this story, don't you? Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law, all the prophets." In other words, Jesus was saying that if we truly love him and we truly love his people around us, we're doing what he commands. That's pretty big stuff, isn't it? Can we pray together? Would you repeat this prayer after me? Okay. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus. Please help us to love you.
Please help us to love me.
With all of our heart.
With all of our heart.
And love our neighbors as ourself. Amen. So see, you're just making this hard. You're just making this hard. Okay. You go back to mommy. Okay. Thank you for coming up here, Abigail. And what's this one?
Ray.
Ray. Oh, that's a beautiful name. Rayani. It's nice to meet you. Sosie likes Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse too, but she calls her Vicky Mouse. Go ahead and go back to Mama. Thank you. I believe it's very important for the generations of the church to be brought back together again. I think for too long we've separated the generations and we've all just kind of gotten used to it. I think it's important for kids to be on the pew. I think kids' church is great too. We got to do that. That's good stuff. But I also think it's important for kids to be on the pew because maybe if they're not on the pew, they won't be on the pew when they're older. Maybe we've done a little bit of disservice by always separating everybody, and then they're not on the pew, and then when they grow older, they don't know how to be on the pew. I remember, and this isn't even a pew, is it? It's a chair pew. That works. Why do we call them pew anyway? Do they stink? I don't know. Anyway, so I remember I was asleep on my mother loves to tell this story. It's her best friend Sue. I was asleep on the pew and she comes up to me and she says, Paul, she gently wakes up Paul. Oh, Paul, honey, it's time to wake up. Church is over. You know, it's good to sleep on the pew too. And she comes up, Sue comes up and she sits next to me and I wake up and throw up on her. She loves to tell that story. Can you believe I just told that story in church?
Amen.
Am I in trouble already? I just started. I'm already in trouble, Pastor Mike. I have discovered in my ministry experience that sometimes the greatest need of the church is a good laugh.
Amen.
The greatest need of the church is to have fun. It sounds like Pastor Mike knows how to have fun. There's much biblical support to the church being about fun and laughter. And it's not just, we would think, oh, the proof is in the New Testament, but it's all over the Old Testament too. How about Proverbs 17:22? Anybody can tell me what that says? Laughter is a good medicine. And don't forget Nehemiah 8:10. Anybody know that one? The joy of the Lord is, well, why am I up here preaching? I think you all should, oh, well, there you go. Oh! Yeah, I knew I put that up there. So if it doesn't cause too much trouble, I like to start my sermons with something funny. Is that okay? I know I already talked about something I'm not supposed to in church. A preacher and his wife decided they needed a dog. Have you heard this one before? Because you know sometimes preachers steal each other's jokes. I didn't write this one. Ever mindful of their congregation, this preacher and his wife, they knew that the dog must be affiliated with their specific denomination. Amen?
Amen.
So they visited. That's really not a place to say amen. I was setting you up there, Ed. Yeah. They visited an expensive kennel and explained their needs to the manager, who assured them he had just the dog for them. When the dog was produced, the manager began giving it commands. Fetch the Bible. The dog bounced to the bookshelf. You believe it? The dog bounced to the bookshelf, scrutinized the books, located the Bible, and brought it to the manager. The manager then said, dog, find Psalm 23. Do you think this can happen? The dog, showing marvelous dexterity with his paws, leafed through the Bible, found the correct passage, and pointed to it with his paw. I like that laugh. Duly impressed, the preacher and his wife purchased that dog. That evening, a group of parishioners came by to visit. The preacher and his wife began to show off their amazing dog. Having him locate several Bible verses, the visitors were absolutely amazed. Finally, one man asked, can the dog do normal tricks too? Well, let's see, said the preacher. Pointing his finger at the dog, he commanded, heel! The dog immediately jumped on a chair, placed one paw on the preacher's forehead, and began to howl. The preacher turned to his wife in complete shock and disbelief and said, we have been swindled! They sold us a Pentecostal dog! I'd be okay with a Pentecostal dog. Anybody else be okay with a Pentecostal dog? But I dare say Pentecostals don't have to always be weird. Amen? I don't think we always have to be weird. But anyway, Please permit me to share with y'all today three words, and I've told my wife this, three words that I want on my tombstone. That's not necessarily the greatest thought. Have you thought about that? Okay. Well, I have. Here we go. I think it might have something to do with I pastored my home church for 6 years, and I was so attached to this place because it's the church I grew up in, and I had to bury my 99-year-old grandma. And there was another woman there. We had longevity in our church. There was a woman who was 105 years old. And someone asked her what her secret was, and she said, lard. So now you know. It's lard. That's the secret.
Amen.
So, like a good preacher, they all start with S, and of course it's 3 points, because Lord have mercy upon the soul who would do more or less than 3 points. Amen. So, by the way, I'm a teaser. Has anybody noticed that? If you don't like teasing, you talk to my mama. It's all her fault. So, you know how you're supposed to blame your mama for everything, right? My mama is a teaser, and she taught me how to tease. As a matter of fact, we sit around our table, and we all tease each other, and if you're not being teased, you feel like you're not loved. So, which is not the greatest thing. So God gave me this beautiful gift named Holly Tricia Goodell, and we married 16 years ago. And see, I'm the extrovert, and I'm loud, and my mouth is, you know, and she's this sweet, kind, introverted woman, and God gave her to me so I would learn how to be careful, because there's people that I cannot tease. There are people that I need to be careful, and I have to walk gently with. So I learned so much, because when I went with her family, if you sit around the table and tease each other, you're in trouble. Right? So it's a good thing. I mean, it's called learning and growing. I'm growing. Maybe I'll be good when I grow up. I don't know if I'm ever really going to grow up, though. So, number one, that was a rabbit trail. That wasn't in my notes. Number one, simple. Somebody say simple.
Simple.
I really want this. I want this on my tombstone. I believe in simplicity. Now, please don't misunderstand. This isn't the kind of simplicity that denies any complexity or stifles a love for learning. I'm a learner. I want to grow. I'm an avid reader. Anybody a reader in here? Yeah. One of my heroes used to say to me all the time, Paul, today a reader, tomorrow a leader. A little cheesy saying, but you know, those little things get in your head and they kind of stick with you. There's a profound scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It'll be up on the screen. The Apostle Paul says, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. I wonder if, when churches find themselves in trouble, if they shouldn't stop and look back and see if they've left Christianity.
Amen.
I spent a year at a church that had left Christianity. And we could point to when, and it's scary, because it's Pharisaism, isn't it? Pharisaism is still alive today in the church. And I believe simplicity might be an answer to some things that we're struggling with. Or how about 1 Corinthians 1:27? Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God put skin on, and he was born in a barn, and he died on a tree, and he rolled away a stone, making a way for you, making a way for me, making a way for us sinners to be saved, to find a way back to a perfect God. He made a way. Anytime you begin to trust in any religious motion in place of the simple gospel for salvation, please look behind you, because that fork in the road is when you left Christianity. We cannot wear badges across our... I speak in tongues. I have the gift of healing. I have the gift of prophecy. These are all good things. Let's all have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's all practice the fruit of the Spirit. But I'll tell you what, I want to see, and I think this is for us Pentecostals, I want to see the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I want to see the fruit of the Spirit, because if we're walking in the gifts of the Spirit and we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, it's worthless. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. It's just a resounding gong, a clanging of cymbals. We have to, without love, it's worthless. I can't get over the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words. Where is that found? Matthew 5, 6, 7. Our Lord and Savior makes it clear that heart motive is all that matters. Why? Somebody say, why? Why are you praying? Why are you fasting? Why are you giving? Why are you... Insert any religious practice right here. Why? The why is much more important than the how or what or when or even if. Jesus was very clear in Matthew 18:3. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Childlike faith is the only Christian's hope. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more than He does right now. There is nothing you can do to make God love you any less than He does right now. That's that unmerited, undeserved, amazing grace. I believe in grace. Anybody believe in grace?
Hallelujah.
I love this. Have you heard this quote before? Religion is man's attempt at God, but the gospel is God's attempt at man.
Oh, hallelujah.
That cranks my tractor right there. I spent a little time in Nebraska. That cranks my tractor. That is, I look at that and I go, there's hope for even this imperfect preacher. Anybody else imperfect in this room? We mustn't complicate the main thing. Jesus summed up the Bible in Matthew 22. I just talked about it with the kids. Love. Hold up your Bible. This entire thing is summed up with what? One word. Love. Love. And there's some hard things in there. And there's some crazy people in there. You know what I'm talking about? Craziness in that Bible. And I love every crazy piece, because God can use me too. God can use a donkey. He can use me. We mustn't complicate the main thing. All the law, all the prophets are summed up with love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Anybody got that down yet? Got some work to do left. Love your neighbor as yourself. If the practice of your Christian faith is complicated, causing you to be weary, there's this wonderful book. It's one of my favorites. It's called Simplify Your Spiritual Life. I believe it's by Donald Whitney. Do you know that one? Oh, that's a good book. You might want to write it down. That's extra. You can put a little bit more in the offering plate as you go out. Because that's extra right there. Donald Whitney, Simplify Your Spiritual Life. I'm pretty sure it's Whitney. Anybody can Google it right now and find out, right? Somebody Google it. I don't want to get it wrong. Matthew chapter 11. Maybe if your Christian faith is complicated and you're becoming weary, maybe you need to go back to Matthew 11. How the message. Anybody read the Message paraphrase? Has anybody read that? Eugene Peterson? Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me. You'll recover your life, Jesus says. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. That's good. And this is my favorite part. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. If the yoke isn't easy, if the burden isn't light, maybe you should go back to the basics. You know, and when I think of basics, I think of as a child singing, into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, Oh, sir, you can't start crying about that. You're going to get me up here. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Did you know that it's only on Tuesday that he comes in? Come in Tuesday. I've always thought that. Jesus only comes into your heart on Tuesday. Why are we having church on Sunday? I don't know. Sorry about that. That happens sometimes. But I'll tell you right now, somebody once called me the male version of Mary Poppins, because I break into songs sometimes. I do it with my kids all the time. This is extra too. I'm getting out of my notes. Is that okay?
Amen.
It's scary when I get out of my notes.
Oh,
yeah. My grandpa, he went to be with Jesus when he was 96 years old. And he trained oxen. Because my father was born to them in their 50s. So my grandma was having babies when my aunts were having babies. So I have a very large family down in Oregon. Anyway, my grandpa trained oxen. I remember going at the Rooster Crow Parade in Rogue River, Oregon. Anybody been to the Rooster Crow Parade? Oh, come on. You haven't lived until you've been. Now, you guys do the Apple something parade, right? Apple Blossom? All right. All right. Okay. That's cool. So grandpa, he had the oxen and the wagon, and we're going down the middle. It was, you know, this wasn't very long ago. Well, it was. It was a while ago. Anyway. And so I have this picture in my head of Tom and Jerry, his oxen. And when I go to Matthew 11, I picture Tom and Jerry, and we used to give them this this little bottle of milk. Anybody been around oxen like that when they're little? We used to give them a little bottle of milk. And my grandpa loved these oxen. And he would put them in this yoke. And people think, oh, that's terrible to those burdens of beasts. No. Oh, my goodness, they loved grandpa. And what I love about this is I picture putting myself in that. Can you picture a yoke? I should have put a yoke up here so you could picture it. The oxen yoked together. Can you picture that with me? When I picture that, I picture myself putting my head in that yoke, and Jesus is putting his head in that yoke. And I think to myself, the creator of all things is yoking himself with me.
Amen.
That is amazing. And then I think, so when Jesus is next to you and you're walking with him, you can't go faster than him because you're going to start going in circles. Anybody done that? Going in circles around Jesus. And then it starts to chafe the neck a little bit. That's why my tie is a little bit loose, because I wouldn't be able to talk if it was. And I just picture that and I'm amazed at that picture. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. The truth is, he's taken most of the work. He's already done all the work. That's what the gospel's all about. Okay, that was extra. Number two, story. My first word I want on my tombstone. What did I just say? Lord, have mercy upon me. Simple. And number two, I'm letting you all see what I really am this morning. Scary, isn't it? Number one, simple. Number two, story. Now, there's a powerful reason why the creator of all things put flesh on and told stories. Have you ever thought about that? The parables of Jesus still change the lives of all who have ears to hear. Luke 15 records this. Now the tax collectors, the sinners, were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep, loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country, go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Maybe, are you with me? Maybe, who's asleep? Anybody asleep? Not your neighbor. Maybe those American business ideals of success, of money, of power, which I don't know about you, but I've seen them sneak into the church. The church that should be the family of God. We're a family way before we're a business. Maybe we need to be confronted with this reckless love story of neglecting the many for the one. I don't know. That's hard to take, isn't it? He left the 99 and he went after that one. You know, stories can change hearts. Stories, I mean, a story can change your life like that. I really believe it. That's why Jesus did that. Maybe a story like this one. Can I tell you a quick story? When do we usually get out? Around 1 or 2? I'm just kidding. I understand that, you know, attention spans. What we have today, we have iPads, and we have video games, and we have, you know, our attention spans are like this. I understand that. So I can't go too long because we're all going to go to sleep. It's a little hot. A little bit, yeah. So we got to nudge each other to keep each other awake while this guy keeps talking. So one more story. I'm almost done, I promise. I'm not one of those preachers that says, and I'll close with this, and I have no intention of closing. I'm not going to do that. One day, a young man was walking along. I have 2 pages left, I promise. Okay. One day, and I had 7. Okay, so. One day, a young man was walking along an isolated, Lord have mercy. Jesus, make my mouth work. Hallelujah. One day, a young man was walking along an isolated road when he heard something like a crying sound. He couldn't tell for sure what the sound was, but it seemed to be coming from underneath a bridge. As he approached the bridge, the sound got louder and louder, and then he saw this pathetic sight. There, lying in the muddy riverbed, was a puppy about 2 months old. It had a gash on its head and was covered with mud. And its front legs were swollen where they had been tightly bound with cords. The young man was immediately moved with great compassion and wanted to help that poor little dog. But as he approached, the crying stopped and the dog snarled his lip and started to growl. Anybody notice that sometimes when we help people, they start to growl at us? But the young man did not give up. Somebody say he did not give up. He sat down and he started gently talking to that dog, and he took a long, long, long time. But eventually that dog stopped growling and the man was able to inch forward and eventually touch the dog and begin unwrapping the tightly bound cords. The young man carried that dog home, cared for its wounds, gave it food, water, a warm bed. Even with all of this, that dog continued to snarl and growl every time that young man approached. But the young man did not give up. Somebody say he didn't give up. Weeks went by and the man continued caring for that little puppy. And then one day, as the young man approached, that dog wagged its tail. Glory. Maybe even say glory. I don't know if puppies say glory. Consistent love. Consistent kindness. Somebody say consistent love. Consistent kindness had won, and a lifelong friendship of loyalty and trust began. Now you talk about a story like that, and you talk about all the lessons that are wrapped up in it. A story can change a life. Sometimes the most godly thing to do is simply tell a story. I would sit down at Grandpa's feet and I was upset about something, and he would tell me a story, and everything was better. The power of a story. So on this imperfect preacher's tombstone, I want simple, I want story, and I want song. Oh, one more thing. My grandma, she lived most of her life in Omak. This is my mom's side. Anybody been to Omak? They do this crazy thing where horses go down a mountain and kill people. Yeah. Don't they? It's just craziness. Wow, people are crazy. Pray for them. Okay. So my grandma spent most of her time in Omak, and she and I called them Grandpa Willie. Frazier. Did you know Willie Frazier?
Yeah.
Did you guys know Willie Frazier? Did you know him, Art?
My daughter's name Pam.
Wilfred Fraser. Yeah, oh yeah, he was in OMAC forever. And my grandma, Isla Brashears, towards the end of their lives, they both had lost their departed loved ones. And she would drive him around from thing to thing. And Grandpa Willie knew how to not give up. He pastored the Assemblies of God church there in OMAC 4 years. And he knew how to go and approach those people who were tightly bound and how to consistently love and consistently show kindness. And little by, this is another one my mama used to always sing. Little by little, one step at a time. He's changing my heart and renewing my mind. There's the Mary Poppins again. Sorry about that. Teaching us how to be patient and kind. So this is why I have notes, because if I got up here and just talked, it would be scary. What do they call that? ADD or whatever? I don't know. I probably have it. I don't know. It's okay. So simple story and song. I don't know about you, but I never ever get tired of this passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 16. I'd love you to grab your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. And once you've found it, I'd love you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. Now listen, if you cannot stand, I understand. Acts chapter 16. And please share your neighbor with your Bible. Years ago, I know I'm supposed to say share your Bible with your neighbor, but I said share your neighbor with your Bible, and I just stuck with it because I know I'm going to say it wrong. That's like my favorite preacher. He says put the finger on the ring. He doesn't say put the ring on the finger at the wedding. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Anybody love this story?
Yes.
Oh, I love this. Acts chapter 16, we're keeping it simple. 16, verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Glory. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed — anybody been annoyed before? — turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." Now, I don't recommend every time you're annoyed to do that to somebody. That might not be a good idea. And he came out of that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul, seized Silas, and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." Verse 21 of Acts 16. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. This was not a good day for Paul and Silas. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. This was a bad day. Anybody have a bad day sometimes? Acts chapter 16, verse 25. "But at midnight..." Something about midnight. There's something about midnight that you can do something with midnight. You can sit in it, and you can start complaining and whining, or "At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." Did you know that these guys are bloody and bruised, and they're in stocks, and they're singing? What's wrong with them? Maybe what's right with them? "And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we're here.' And then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, this prison jailer. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" There's something about when we sing a song at midnight that people around us begin to say, whoa, what's different about you? What must I do to be saved? When you sing a song at midnight in the midst of the prison of hardship, amazing things can happen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. May it go deep into our hearts, changing us from glory to glory, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it goes deep. And it makes us new. Thank you for making us new. You may be seated. You know, there's something amazing about a song. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to sing another song. Is that okay? Where's that? One, the words will be up there. Praise you, Jesus. Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, they feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place, yes, Lord, at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. The Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name, Jesus. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick, yes, Lord, the sick are healed. The dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. The Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty. Defender, my Savior, you are my King. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty. Defender, my Savior, you are my King. You are my King, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, your word. Hallelujah.
There's not very many services that the Lord, that I have the privilege of leading. I'm humbled when I get to lead a service for the Lord. And most of them I like to end with these three scriptures. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever in here? Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But please, please don't stop there. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace that you are saved. This is not of yourselves, not by works, so that no man can boast. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. And then Romans 10, 9 and 10. Give us the formula for walking in salvation every day. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Could you stand to your feet? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Let's sing that again. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Yes, yes, Jesus. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Yes, Lord. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. One more time. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. One more time. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Praise.
I cannot leave you without a blessing. Did you know that every word out of your mouth is a blessing or a curse? Every word. I know that there are some that disagree with me, and that's okay. But every word out of your mouth is a blessing or a curse. And I want to bless you this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Father's love, the Father's unmerited, full of mercy, overwhelming love, the Son's grace, the Spirit's comfort. Anybody need comfort? the Spirit's comfort, maybe even His whispers be with you this week, sustain you, undergird you, surround you this week. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for allowing me to come this morning, Pastor Mike.